Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and our crucified, risen, and ascended Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. The devout Jews at the first Pentecost uttered these words. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking said, "They are filled with new wine." Why would this happen? Everyone gathered at this very first Pentecost are hearing the same sermon preached, and yet some hear what they call the mighty works of God, and others hear idle tales from someone that they suppose to be drunk. Why would it happen? Well, the truth is that even today, it is still happening. Why is it that when the word of God goes forth, it can have a profound effect on some, while others hear it as idle tale, something that literally has no value for their life? And the truth is that in some ways, we'll never know why. We'll never know why when some hear the word, they receive it, and when others hear it, they reject it. But the book of Hebrews teaches us this about that word. It is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. In other words, what it means is that the word of God is effective in doing what it is sent to do. That is, lead people to repentance and ultimately to Jesus Christ. It sees what is in the secret intentions of somebody's heart. And so somebody who hears the word of God and rejects it, their heart has been revealed. But even as the second chapter of Acts, Peter continues to preach a sermon, and it says that 3,000 were added to their number that day. Why? Because Peter had received the Holy Spirit. God was literally using Peter's mouth to speak his very word. Well, why do some have faith and why do some hear the truth and others simply reject it or see God's word as a lie? The problem isn't the word. The word is from God. The word is from the Holy Spirit. It's the people who are hearing it that are the problem. And remember who's hearing these words at this first Pentecost. It's the devout Jews. They knew the Old Testament. They were very well informed on the scriptures. They knew all about a Messiah who was supposed to be coming. And yet what do they do when Peter finally says, "That guy, he's here. He was the one who was killed and risen and ascended into heaven." And they go, "Nah." They convince themselves that what they're hearing isn't true. They literally close their ears to the truth. Which in a lot of ways clues us into a sad reality. I mean, the word of God has been going out ever since this event. It's been going out for nearly 2,000 years now to all places in the world. But the sad reality is that everyone who has heard this word hasn't inherited eternal life. Because there are still those who are going to despise God's word and the preaching of it no matter what. There are those who will not gladly hear it, but will attempt to avoid God's word at all costs. And there are even some who will come and they will hear it, but it won't be willingly or with a joyful heart, but it will be reluctantly. Oh, got to hear God's word again. But just like at the first Pentecost, there are some who rebel, some who run away from God's word. And on the other hand, there are some who receive it. There are some who rejoice in it. But the truth is that to run away from God's word means to run away from baptism, to run away from the supper, to run away from the absolution, that is, you are forgiven, to run away from the very crucifixion and resurrection and ascension itself. As our text puts it, if you deny the word of God, you deny the mighty works of God. All of it. But before we condemn those who rejected the words at the first Pentecost. It's really easy to throw stones at the people in the past, right? Consider yourself. Have you ever wished that the pastor would have delivered a shorter sermon? I kind of wish that every single week. But in all honesty, sometimes we consider the hearing of God's word as if it is a chore instead of a joy. Or have you ever come to church, and it's obviously not here today, but you see the Lord's Supper on the altar and you go, oh, service is going to be longer. Or have you ever skipped your daily devotion to be concerned with worldly things or start the tasks of the day? Have you ever considered that maybe it's more restful to stay away from God's word rather than hearing it and reading it? My friends, the truth is that our sinful nature is still alive and well. There are times when each and every one of us, yes, even the pastor included, will despise God's word, will despise his gifts. But if you're feeling convicted, good. Because if you feel convicted in your sin, it means that the Holy Spirit is still using that word to accomplish his purpose, to reveal your heart. He is leading you to something that we call repentance. That means turning away from your sin. And when the Holy Spirit turns you away from your sin, guess where you turn? To Jesus. You turn towards your Savior. And it means that you are neither self-righteous Pharisee nor unbeliever. Instead, you are one for whom Jesus has sent his Holy Spirit. You are one that believes in Jesus Christ by the power that he sends down to you from heaven. It means you're covered with his blood that he shed from the cross. It means that you are someone that Jesus rose for on the third day. It means that you are redeemed, that is purchased by God and reconciled, brought back into a perfect relationship with the one true God. Why? Because the word is efficient to reveal your sins and to promise you, you are forgiven. Now and forever. Remember what Jesus said in our gospel text? When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. This is the Holy Spirit's job. He comes to reveal Jesus Christ, and the truth is that some people want nothing to do with it, but not you. Not you. The Holy Spirit comes to you today, and you say, thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness you won for me. Thank you for shedding your blood. Thank you for delivering me from all of my enemies. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has already created faith in your heart. He's doing his job even right now, strengthening your faith, encouraging you with these words, reminding you that the promises of Jesus, they are good and they last forever. That's what the Pentecost event was all about. The Holy Spirit coming to create faith. But there wasn't only one Pentecost. Pentecost comes every year. It's always 50 days after Easter, which means that there's been nearly 2,000 Pentecosts since that event. Every Pentecost, and in fact, every day, the Holy Spirit comes to remind you of these gifts. But what about next Pentecost? What about next year? The truth is that the word of God, from the very first Pentecost even to now, is still going out by the power of God's Holy Spirit, by the power of the word, and it is spreading. In fact, over in Africa, the word is going out in leaps and bounds. Christianity is growing by an alarming rate, really, which is good. Good alarm. But the truth is that the word of God is still going out to all various languages, just as we heard in the first Pentecost. Why? Because Jesus has given this task to the church. Those who have already received the Holy Spirit have now been given the task to continue to go. Ever since that first official Pentecost sermon, for centuries, the church has been going out and telling their friends, and telling their relatives, and telling their neighbors about the life-giving death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And for centuries, the church has continued. My friends, today is Pentecost, which means today the Holy Spirit has come to you to reinforce you, to remind you, to promise you that you are forgiven in Jesus Christ. And now Pentecost is going to work through you. Because as you take the Holy Spirit from this place, there are plenty of people, even in central Illinois, who need to hear about Jesus. That's what the first Pentecost was all about. It's about the word of the Lord being spread in all places. My friends, Pentecost is today. You have forgiveness, you have life, you have salvation. But I'm certain there's others who still need it. As we leave this place, let's leave with a promise that Jesus has been crucified and risen for you and for the whole world. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.